Let's take our Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I'm glad, thank God, for the work He does in our hearts and lives and how He changes things for us. As we look in the Word of God tonight in Galatians chapter 5, we find this out, that this chapter deals with the difference that Christ makes and the difference that Christ makes on our hearts and lives. As we look in this chapter, we see, as we've looked in this thing, we see that The fruit of the Spirit's where we've been working from, and we got all the way down to the end of chapter 5 with this. We got about the fruit of the Spirit in chapter 5, about walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit. We got over into chapter 6, and we got up here to where about verse 1 about restore such an one, and we got down here to verse number 7 where we're going to pick up at tonight. So in Galatians chapter number 6, we're going to begin reading at verse 7. The Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." As we look in this section of Scripture tonight, I want to show you some certainties of life. Some certainties of life. When people take the position that there is no absolute truth, they're absolutely wrong. Right. Because there are some things in life where no matter what people say or what they think, there are some things that will happen that will make you believe this tonight and will show you this thing. And one of them, listen, if we was to deal with everything that was certain in life, I'd have you in here to 12 o'clock next Wednesday night. But God give us four verses right here we're going to look at that deals with the certainties of life that we can all count on. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you, God, for what you're going to do. We pray, God, that you'll just continue to move and do a great work throughout this congregation. Lord, we pray tonight for this passage of Scripture we read, God, that you'll open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We pray that verse together. Yes. God, that you'd open this book up to us and teach us to do it, Lord, and that you'd show us you from this place. God, I pray you'd help me to preach tonight according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And Father, we pray, God, tonight, James chapter 1, verse 22, you'd help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers, only deceiving our own selves. Help us, God, to take in this book, to apply what goes to us and learn what it says, and to follow after Jesus Christ, for it's in his name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look in Galatians chapter 6 over here, and we pick up where we're at tonight, we saw the first 10 verses dealing with the service to the Lord, and he picks up in verse 7 with the first certainty of life, and that certainty is order. God is not the God of confusion. We learned that back in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. God is not the author of confusion, but he's the author of peace, as in all churches of the saints. I find out when we look at that verse right there, he deals with an agriculture term about sowing, and he turns around and talks about reaping, then talks about that again in verse 8. But the certainty of life is there is order, and that order is this. There is a deceiver in this world. He can get to you. He don't mind you. Listen, you may think you're an experienced person and you're an adult and you're all this other stuff, and God bless you, you're 15 years old, right? But either way, you got to understand something. The devil has had 6,000 years of human history dealing with better, smarter, and more athletic than us. And he's took them all down all the way through the course of the thing. I pointed something out to somebody the other night. I want to point this out to you. You know why Jesus Christ came? It was always God's plan. Here's why. He set up Adam as king of this world. You know what happened to Adam? He fell. Yeah. And then behind him, listen to this. Abraham showed up. He said, "Come out of Ur of the Chaldees." And before he ever got out, he fell. Yeah. He brought Lot with him. We go on down, we see all these other ones come along, and then we're introduced to a man named Judah. Judah is going to be the line of Christ. He fell.
Right.
And we go on down, and we got Moses showing up, and what did Moses do? Killed a man.
Yeah.
Failed. David, adultery, failed. John the Baptist, doubted Christ, all the way down. But when we look back here, I see that deceiver was the cause of every one of their falls. See, when people get saved, they think they become perfect. They're not. Listen, we're not perfect. We're whole. That's different. And he said, be not deceived. Why? He said, God is not mocked. Yeah. And he's referring back up through here about everything. About he deceiveth himself in verse 3. Let every man prove his own work. Let him that is taught in the word communicate him that teacheth in all good things. And then he picks up with that thing and says, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That applies to a church.
Yeah.
When you look at churches, you can tell what churches have been doing something to the Lord, not based on their income or their outcome.
Yeah.
But based on their upwards compatibility, what they're doing there.
Right.
If you were to drop some people off in the middle of, just some cult that might have leather books in their hands, and they had about 1,000 people there and had to set out chairs, this crowd around here would say, boy, that's the growingest church around here. Until we pulled back the cover on it, and we found out them people was not what they say they are. And there's a cult, and there's worshiping a man that was there. And he got up and said, I am God, and everybody fell down and worshiped him.
Yeah.
You say that'll never happen. Happens all the time.
Right.
And it seems to happen in connection with America and Guyana, of all places.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
Jim Jones takes a bunch of people down there and says, just drink this Kool-Aid, we go into heaven.
Yeah.
What a deceiver and a liar.
Yeah.
But see, it's not entirely his fault. The devil did tempt him to do that thing.
Right.
And the devil will be accountable for them people, by the way.
Yeah. Right.
But they'll follow that thing like that. I remember a while back when the internet first started booming around, we had some people get deceived. They was called the Heaven's Gate Cult. And that guy said, listen, he said, what we got to do is, he said, that asteroid's going to pass by, we're going to all commit mass suicide and jump up there on that thing. I've watched Star Wars enough to know this, and Star Trek too. You either take a shuttle of that thing or you get beamed up, but you don't die and get on it.
Amen.
Is that right? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. He's dealing about these people who serve in the Lord like that.
Come on.
Cultists.
Yeah.
Cultists. You got to be careful about that, because whatever you sow to, that's what you're going to reap of.
Right.
I've had people tell me over the years that their good God, their grandparents, was always into Oral Roberts. Be not deceived. God is not mocked.
Right. Yeah.
God is not mocked.
Yep.
Say, well, I've got his study Bible. That's great. I'm glad you do. But he's wrong in that study Bible about 4 out of 5 things he says in it. And most of you TV preachers are deceived.
Right.
They are deceived and being deceived.
Yeah.
Why'd they get like that? Because, listen to this, how'd they get found out is the better question. Because they got all the money to keep up everybody in front of them.
Yeah.
Yet Benny Hinn got caught.
Yeah. Come on.
What was that guy's name in Atlanta? Creflo Dollar?
Yeah, how about
there's no way I'd go in the ministry on TV with a name like that. I'd be Martin Luther King or somebody. I'd have a different name, but not that one. I wouldn't have dollar or change or cents or something, you know. But I see a pattern there. He needed $7 million for a new jet to fly around in.
Bless his heart.
Times is hard.
Yeah.
Now that Trump's president, maybe he can get one for $10
million. Come on.
Amen, friend. God bless you. Listen, America's going to be great again. Just hang on. Listen to this. I see that he says there, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. When I look around to the church, I can see what they've been sowing to.
Yeah.
When I go into a church to preach somewhere, I don't have to look and see if the women are showing thighs and legs like Colonel Sanders. I don't look at that stuff. I ain't worried about that. I don't have to look and see whether all the men have ties on or something like that. I'm not looking to see if they're all, get this, this is a good one. I'm not even worried if they all carry the King James Bible. Because I know if they have me in there, they're going to be in there for a King James Bible conference to help with that.
Right.
And I'm totally okay with all that. Because
yeah.
I know God works on people at different times, different rates, and I know I came out all that and they can too.
Right.
But I do know this much. When that thing says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap, we find God's order in a church where if you've been sowing to the thing, you'll reap of the thing down the road, and that's God's order.
Right.
I have been told so much over the years how to grow a church, how to do this, how to bring the children in, how to do this and how to do that. And I found out something. Every one of them things involves two things. Program out the Bible and program out God.
Right.
And listen, if saved people, when they come in church, are not looking for the truth of God's Word and they're not looking for the presence of God in their daily life, I don't care if you give them hot dogs, onion rings, and french fries. When you cut that business out, they're going to the next outfit that we own. When I was a young preacher, 20-something years old, and them older preachers would tell us up there, don't get involved with apple pies and candy. Don't get involved with that. Don't let anybody trick you. God's still on the throne. He owns 1,000 hills and all the taters in them hills, and he's always able to supply for his people. And it may look like you just getting by, but from heaven's side, you rich as the current president. Amen. Your riches just ain't on this side. But listen, everybody in this room, without an exception, maybe two or three of you, we all need to go on diets anyway, because God's been good. And there's an order thing. You keep sowing to it, you get to reap of it. And I noticed in that verse, he said, whatsoever a man soweth. You go to a church that gives the missions, I'll show you a church with the lights on. You find me a church out in the middle of nowhere on the side of Chesney Highway up there that's wanting to do right by God, and call me up and tell me, he said, listen, I want to talk to you. I said, we're going to talk at it. He said, the beacon. I said, I'm there. He said, tomorrow. I said, well, I'm already there. Let's go 2 days in a row. And the pastor sits there and looks at me and says, I want to do right. I want to do right. Tell me what I'm doing. Amen. And I look at that and I think, God's going to do something there. Amen. All it takes is one person to sow to the right thing. And I know the criticism probably came when they moved from that one building. I know the criticism probably came. Probably did. I know that when they moved out of that building, went out of that little block building, they said, oh, y'all in bad trouble now. And I went up there and preached one time, 5, 6 of us up there. I went back the other night, and that's good many people there. Yeah. You know why? Because you sow the right thing, you reap the right thing. Yeah. There's even a bald-headed guy there, amen. It wasn't me and Jason. There's another one there, amen. I knew God was working there. He had at least one good head of hair in that place, amen, amen. Yeah. Listen to me. Whatever you sow to, you reap that thing. There's order in it.
Right.
That applies to a country. We've been sowing to a lot of stuff since the 60s and 50s. In the 50s, we got lockjaw on stuff and wouldn't preach on stuff. In the 60s, all that dope came out. We wouldn't preach on that.
Yeah. Come on.
Go back and pull up some tapes and show me where Oil Rip Off and all them started preaching on dope on TV. They didn't.
Yeah.
In the 70s, all that liquor and all that stuff and all that sexual immorality come out. We didn't say a thing about that. Then the 80s come along, 90s, we ain't said nothing. And then all of a sudden, our last four presidents, it shows up in all them.
Come on.
We had one guy with a DUI and a disregard for the word of God.
Yeah.
And that ain't even Clinton yet.
Yeah.
Then we had a guy come in who said he didn't inhale, and he did.
Right.
And he better get used to, if he don't come to Christ and be saved, inhale will be something he'll know more about later on. He wishes to know.
Yeah.
And yeah, I know how to spell, but they sound just alike. Amen and amen. Listen. I know this, we had a president set in office for the last 8 years because we have had lockjaw against that whole Muslim outfit over in the Middle East. They've got a false moon god. They do not pray to the same God we have. Listen, they're not like us. And may I say this, I'm glad to hear somebody say we're going to take care of Islamic terrorism rather than radical Islamic terrorism. I mean, you may find a liberal of them in a bunch every once in a while. It's like you find a liberal Baptist every once in a while. But I know this. If we don't recognize who the enemy is, we've already lost the fight. Thank God for somebody finally realizing that and saying, you know what? If I'd heard the words, you're fired back on January 20th, I'd have loved that too. But we didn't, you know. That was tactful. I got to admit, for him, that was very tactful. But listen to me. There is an order. We've sat around fed up with this stuff for the last 40 years, and I believe somewhere we're going to get the curtains pulled back one day, and there's going to be somebody back there praying. God's going to show us back there when we get to eternity that he listened to somebody's prayer.
That's right.
Somebody said, Lord, I don't care who it is. Bring us somebody in there that's going to do something right by your word. And I notice over and over we have the pattern there. But I see also, we not only see the order of the thing in verse 7, we see the outcome show up in verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now what we see here is the outcome. You notice he said, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you depend on your skills to get it done without God's help, God will let you do it.
Right.
See, we live in the age of grace, but God's always been like this. Whatever you sow to, he lets you reap of that thing.
Right.
And if we go around trying to make our flesh something that's not, and we try to sow to that thing, we're going to continually find out over and over that God's going to continue to let that happen just to show us we need him.
Right.
And he says when we sow to the flesh, he said that thing there, he that soweth to his flesh of the flesh reap corruption. This is why. This is why in 1 Corinthians 15, why the corruption must put on incorruption.
Right.
These bodies have not been saved yet.
Right.
The soul has. There's a new spirit. God's spirit dwells within you. But one day when the rapture takes place, all the corruptible bodies going to put on incorruption. And God's going to resurrect those bodies and rapture the ones that's alive and change them in the moment of the twinkling an eye for one reason.
Right.
This is corrupt.
Yeah.
It is corrupt as can be. I try to tell myself sometimes that I'm not corrupt, and I go without a bath a day or two or three, and I found out something. I'm worse than I thought I was.
Yep.
And what's so bad is, listen, sometimes I can't tell it.
Yeah.
You ever been without a hot water heater about 4 days? After a while, you don't even notice. Then you know what happens? Somebody comes over and says, "What's that smell?"
Yeah.
And it's you. What happened? Corruption, man. Corruption. Do you know I had somebody tell me one time it's because we eat cheese and red meat, we stink? My challenge to them is this: go without a bath a month, come back and tell me don't eat no cheese and no red meat, come back and talk to me. They even sponge bathe people in the hospital for that reason. I mean, you just lay there and start stinking. Listen to me very carefully. There's always outcome. But he says this right here: "But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." When we back up and say, "You know what, God? Them people we praying for, we get mad at their sin. We get mad at their behavior. We get mad at their attitude. But God, only you can save them. Nothing I can say will do it. It's got to be the Spirit of God that does it." A man makes a profession of faith without the Spirit of God, he can put on airs for a while, but eventually something will happen within probably the first 3 months that will overturn what he did.
Right.
Because the Bible says about that thing in Matthew chapter 13, Luke chapter 8, and Mark chapter 4, that the devil comes along trying to steal that word out of his heart right after service. So how do you know that, preacher? Well, I've stood at the back door and been about run over going to football games and races and everything else. I mean, I know Dale Earnhardt's a big deal and all, but you don't have to kill me to get to him.
Well,
amen. Yeah. Y'all a bunch of Dale Earnhardt fans. Is that why y'all so sitting here so sad looking tonight? No, no amens, no nothing. If you think it's quiet now, wait till this one comes along. He said of the Spirit you'd reap life everlasting if you sow to it.
Yeah.
Here's the good part about this outcome. No matter how it outcomes, he's got the outcome. See, that's a certainty of life. I can't understand things. The things that look, you know, like they're going to develop and become a great thing to me, they generally fall apart. And the things that look like they're going to fall apart, they generally ramble through life like a wreck, and God uses them all their life. And I've never understood that except for this. God does that. God keeps it in the road. God does things. There's nothing, I hear people say this, I've said this, there's nothing that catches God off guard. He already knows the end.
Yeah.
And you wonder sometimes why he lets you go through things like that. If he knows it's going to happen, why didn't he just stop the thing? Here's why. He's not maybe working on that so much, he's working on you. And once he works on you and gets you where you going, you say, well, that'll make me more like Jesus. That's right. And when you get the most like Jesus, guess what happens then? You check out of here and you're in heaven. Then you'll be exactly like him.
That's right.
Ain't that something?
Amen.
Now watch this. You don't become a God, by the way.
Right.
You just become like him. Christ-like. Not Christ. Christ-like. There's a difference. But I see down in verse number 9, he said, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." I see order. I see outcome. And I see another certainty right there, and that is occasion. The occasion that he's pointing out here, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Here's the occasion. God is not going to finish what he's doing when you think he should. He's going to go far past what you thought the finish line was to get something done. That's why he says, don't be weary in well-doing. Wouldn't you hate to be the guy that baptized Jesus Christ and then just a year later you're sitting in jail wondering if he was really the Christ? I'm not knocking John. Maybe we'll be there next week. Who knows? But I'm going to tell you something. God went far past what John thought the finish line was.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you hate to be the Apostle Paul saying, well, I'm going to Jerusalem anyway, and God keeps sending preacher after witness after testimony to tell you not to go, but yet you're going to go anyway. And then you look back on it and say, you know what? God was trying to steer me in a different direction. I messed up. But don't be weary in well-doing. I've seen Christians that have literally giving themselves to prayer over lost loved ones or over situations in their life, and would live for God and live for God, and because God didn't stop at their finish line and say, "You've done well." Listen, don't be weary in well doing, it's coming. I know this, that there was a time in my life, and I'll never forget this. We had a guest preacher in, and me and my wife was praying, and we both started crying. I didn't know what she was praying about. I didn't know what she was praying. It was right here at the front of this church, at this altar. And she got up, and I got up, and I said, "God's going to save my daddy." She said, "God's already working on my daddy." Amen. We didn't see that for 10 years, though. We didn't see it. Our finish line was right then. Boy, we prayed, we got the victory, and then it didn't happen that day. Then one day, listen, God works everything out. Well, Pat does all that, and they get their daddy back. Long journey, wasn't it, girls? Then one day, me and my daddy's out fishing, and he's acting all funny. He never acts like that. He's always joking, happy, whatever. Or mad because he ain't catching nothing, but he's never... And you know what? We get back to his house. He said, "Son, I just need to get saved. I want to tell you." I said, "Well, you won't do that out there in that boat?" He said, "Yeah, but I don't know if we could do it out there." I'm glad he waited till we got off there, because I'd have probably jumped in and had a swim over it. Amen. Clothes, boots, and everything. But I'm telling you, when you think the finish line's right there, it may not be. It may be a mile down the road.
Come on.
Hey, listen. There is occasion, and the occasion's this. It's a certainty God will. Don't be weary in well doing. Don't give up now. Listen, the finish line is probably in sight, but it's probably way out there on the edge of the thing. Don't worry about what everything's going on around you, how it's going to work out. It's going to work out. He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And with that promise, we know this. We got an occasion coming. And that occasion is going to be that God somehow in some way is going to work the whole deal out. And we're going to be okay for it. Amen. Say, explain that. Can't. I just believe it.
Amen.
But I know this. When I see it happen, I know what happened.
Amen.
When I see somebody sitting around here a while back, me and this guy, I know we'd been called in to do a funeral. And we got up there at Blakely's up there. And there's the family. Everybody's all tore up and everything. And Grandma and Grandpa have been praying for their kids and their grandkids. And they just like most families, you know, wicked as the devil. Got one crazy one, one drunk one. Not, I mean, the whole thing. They had to split them up there at the funeral. Half of them had to sit over here and half of them sit over here. Because when Grandpa died, boy, they all come unglued. Grandma said this over in that little old room over there. She said, "Listen," this old grandma looked at me and said, "Preacher, pray that this crowd gets right with God before we walk out of this place." I said, "I'll do that." And we got up there, and Brother Freddie Spencer was there, and he sang, and he got up and sang, and he got through, and I got up and preached. And before I stopped preaching, I said, "Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes." And I asked, "Anybody there need to get saved?" Three people come forward. You know who that was? The troublemakers. Imagine that. How does that happen? God.
Yeah, right.
Wonder how many have already quit and said, "You know, I don't know how much further I can go." Don't be weary well doing. You may live to see it yet.
Yeah.
I've had people tell me that their boss is the worst jerk in the world. In fact, I've had everybody tell me that. But I know this. God saves bosses.
Sure he does.
I've had employers tell me as of this week that there's still no good employees out there. And I believe that. But I know this, we're getting our workforce back here soon, we're giving back our free phones and getting alarm clocks, and we're all going back to work. And because that's going to happen, we're going to find some people that's going to work.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yep.
Why? It's an occasion. Don't be weary and well doing, it's coming. It's coming. God's going to work the thing out. Do you know something I've had people tell me over the years? They said, "Man, you would not believe. You would not believe how hard it is to put up with what I put up with and all this other stuff. It's so hard to live for Jesus with what I got going on." Keep on going.
Yeah.
There's your promise right there. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Yeah.
You know, I watched something happen a couple of years back that amazed me. I watched the New Orleans Saints go to the Super Bowl and win it. I never thought in my lifetime I'd see that happen. Back when I was a kid, all them years ago, we had this thing, and you know, you played Trivial Pursuit. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
One of the questions was, who's the most losingest team in football and who's the most losingest quarterback in football? Archie Manning. Quarterback of the Saints. They never won. They always had losing records, never went to the playoffs. Then one day they're in the playoffs and winning. Of course, Archie wasn't playing, but his two sons did. Both of them won Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Don't be weary and well doing.
Amen.
Hey, listen, when I see people living for God, pass it along to your children. They may take it further than you. Keep going. Keep going. That's an occasion. Hey, you know who was celebrating the most when Peyton retired that Super Bowl? Daddy. When Eli beat the unbeatable Tom Brady and undefeated Tom Brady, who was celebrating up in that press box? It wasn't the owner of the Giants, it was the daddy of their Giants quarterback, Mr. Manning, Mr. Archie Manning. Don't give up. God may be fixing to do it. Look at this. Verse 10, he says down here, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Here's a certainty. We got order in verse 7. We got outcome in verse 8. We got opportunity down here in verse 10 here. And that opportunity is this. When you see a need, help that need if you got it to do it. The Bible tells us, to him that doeth good, and to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth not, to him it's sin, right? So when we see it, and we got something that can help it, help it. But when somebody comes along and says, well, now, here's what I do. I just give my money to the church and whatever they do, but that's on them then. It ain't on them then. It's still on you.
Amen.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You need to find out.
Right.
What are you giving your money to?
Mm-hmm.
If it's just going to that local church and keeping the bills paid and the lights cut on, I'm fine with that. I really am. But if it's going to some liberal organization that denies the Bible, denies the virgin birth, and is a heretic, apostate organization, now we need to cut that funding out.
Right.
And if somebody says, but I've got retirement invested in it, cut them out.
Yeah.
They're hireling anyway. If they worry about some kind of retirement somewhere, cut them out. Because that's not how you do this. If you're giving money to a religious outfit that invests in Budweiser, cut them out.
Everyone.
Cut them out. If you invest in money and somebody puts money in Carnival Cruise Lines and all the wicked sin that goes on that, and listen, all that stuff that goes on with that business, and that's what they're investing in with your money,
mm-hmm.
Cut them out.
Right.
Well, it's not mine. I gave it. Yeah, but you want to fuss every time they change the color of the carpets in somewhere because that was your money you give in there.
Come on.
You can't do both.
That's right.
Okay. Here's another one for you. Occasion. Listen, an opportunity shows up there. Let us do good unto all men. Do good. Now, I want you to look at something. I have studied this verse up one side and down the other over the years because I had to have the truth out of it. It never, ever says enable somebody. The biggest problem we have with people right now is we enable them. Not do good to them, enable them. If you've got a son or a daughter and they're a drug addict and you keep saying, well, here's your $10 to buy cigarettes and here's $20 to buy you gas and here's this, that, and other. Listen, they need to go get a job.
Right.
Okay? They need to get off the dope and get a job.
Yeah.
That's how this works. Listen, if you're not trying to help them get a job, you're failing them.
Yeah.
If you've got a kid and you know that kid's fooled up in cocaine and they steal your TV and you don't put them in jail, you the problem.
Yeah.
Now listen to me. I used to be like that. I know what I'm talking about here.
Mom.
When somebody is at that point in their life, all they need is somebody to put up a brick wall in front of them and say, no, you need to get a job. You need to get to work. You need to quit doing this or you're going to wind up either in prison or dead because that's where the two roads end.
Right.
How many funerals, listen, how many funerals have we had to preach where somebody had to bury a kid that's 16, 17 years old because they kept enabling them in a dope habit?
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Amen.
Do you know what it says right there, do good unto all men? That Greek word's not enabelos. It really ain't. Quit enabling people. If you enable them, they get worse.
Right.
If somebody comes along and they say, well, I'm having this kid out of wedlock. Will you watch it for me? And they never come back and get it. And then they come back wanting its SSI check. Cut them off. Don't let them have it.
Right.
Cut them off.
Yep.
They don't need it.
Right.
They're not raising the kid. You are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Listen to me. I'm trying to help you tonight.
Right.
Do not enable people. And let me help you with this so you'll understand exactly where I'm going with it. When these bums sitting around at a place of business and they come up saying, can I have a dollar? Can I have $2? quit giving them money. That's their problem right now.
Yeah.
So how do you know? Well, preacher, you don't understand this. What I do is I don't give money. I'll take them inside and buy them something. And as soon as you pull off, the manager at Hardy's told me they'll bring that stuff right back in there so they want a refund. There's a fly in it. Now they got your $3.10 that you just bought them, and they're going right over at the liquor store, right over across the road.
Yep.
So, well, I can't be. Go in there and watch them. See, you don't stay up there all day. That manager does. He knows. And listen to this. When you enable them to do that, they keep doing it. And probably what's so bad is outside of you enabling them, they got a parent somewhere or a brother or sister trying to keep them out of their hair, and they're trying to enable them to keep them out of their hair. Here's $5. Go away. We go. Well, listen, we're going to the auction barn tonight. I can't have you hanging around. Listen, here's $10. Go. Just get out of here. Go get you something to eat. Or like most of them try to do up at Walgreens, these other places, a fellow walked out there and wanted to help me with my buggy one night. I said, I got this. And I got over the car and he said, let me help you unload it. I said, I got this. He said, how about I just beat you and take what I want? And listen, I showed him a pistol. I said, how about I shoot you and you ain't got to do this no more? He said, well, I didn't mean to cause no problems, boss man. I said, I know you didn't. I know you got the best intentions in the world, but I ain't putting up with it.
Yeah.
Ain't that something?
Wow.
You know what that guy's problem is? Somebody's been enabling him.
Yep.
So how do you know? Listen, I know because of this reason right here. They built a multi-million-dollar homeless facility down here to help people out like that. And every one of them people that don't want to go down there, there's a reason why. Two rules they got to keep that I know of. Puts them out. You got to be there by a certain time, and when you show up, you can't have liquor on your breath.
Yep.
So you don't know how it is to quit addiction. Oh, do I not know how to quit addiction? Yeah, I think I know a little bit about it.
Come on.
Let me tell you something. You can get as saved as you want to. Some of that stuff follows you, and it follows you for life. You got to learn to tell it no.
That's right.
Lord, help me to always tell it no.
Yeah,
I had a fellow tell me one time he come out of heroin and shooting up and all that other stuff, preaching God, his preaching everywhere, God using him. And next thing I know, I asked his pastor, so why ain't I seen that guy around? He said, well, he's back in rehab. He's divorced. What happened to him? He got back on the needle.
Yep.
See, some of you, listen, you had a little problem with sin before. You got, imagine that being your problem. That's what you backslide into. I met a man one time. He was a former mafia hitman. I thought, Lord God, don't let him backslide right now.
Yeah,
look what he backslides into. He kills people. Listen to me. When you have opportunity, though, he says this. He says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Especially. You can be good to everybody. But sometimes we can help out people who are living for God and see a return that comes through heaven on that thing. Let me give you some points here and talk to you about this. There are people right now in this church, if somebody in this church wouldn't help you, you would have wiped out.
Right.
You know why? Because you didn't have no enabler. You finally got down to you and God, and one of y'all had to win.
Yep.
And God sent somebody your way who had this in their heart right here, and they did something to help you out.
Amen.
Listen, they had the means to do it, and they helped you out. You didn't have to go steal TVs. You didn't have to go steal Xboxes. You didn't have to go pawn anything.
Right.
God sent somebody your way.
Amen.
For whatever reason.
Yep.
I've had people tell me over the years, well, if I'd had such and such help me out. They're coming. Remember that thing about the Jew season up here? They're coming.
That's right.
But when your opportunity gets there, don't forget what your season came in. Don't forget your harvest back there and help somebody down the road. What's that thing, and people call it the thing, paying it forward or some business like that? That's kind of this principle right here. Because what we want to do is have the opportunity to do good to people, especially if they are the household of faith. I'm not interested in buying a drunk his next drink of liquor.
Right.
I'm not interested in buying the next line of cocaine for an addict, but I am interested in this. Is your power bill paid? Can you pay your power bill? I know it's 90 degrees today, but it'll be 20 tomorrow if you got power. I know that you, listen, I have watched people in this church be good to people in the household of faith, and God used that and turned them around.
Yep, man.
I remember when I went to Bible college the very first time, we all looked like a bunch of ragamuffins up there. We had on used suits and used shoes and 70s ties, and it was the 90s. I'll never forget this. Every one of them, somebody had been good to them. For me, I had a preacher that was fat like me, and he went on one of them marvelous weight loss things. He lost 100 pounds, and he lost down 100 less than I had. And he had Johnny Carson and all them Olay Cassini and all them suits. He called me and said, "You want some suits?" I said, "Man, yeah." And I went and wore Johnny Carson, Olay Cassini, and old ties. If you'd have tied them like they're supposed to be in a knot, it'd have been that big right there. And it would only come down to right there. Hello. I'm telling you, God's got a way of making this thing work out,
yeah.
And he gives you the opportunity.
Yeah.
So years down the road, listen to this. I got to where I didn't use them suits no more, so I passed them along with a few new ones I put in there and gave them somebody else.
Yeah.
God will always let you pay that thing forward.
Amen.
The funny thing is that for some reason, when we have the opportunity to do good, we don't do it.
No.
And it ain't just about money. It's about other things too. But use the opportunity. Because here's what that opportunity is. It's a certainty. It's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your certainty.
Amen.
Do with it what's right, not what... Listen, do with it what's right,
yeah.
Not what feels right.
Amen.
Do what God says to do, and sow to the right thing, sow to the Spirit of God. Let the Spirit of God lead you to things by the Word of God. And you know what you'll see? A harvest.
Amen.
The right kind.
Yes.
They used to have this place here in Gaffney called the Cornfields. Y'all ever heard of that? Y'all remember that, some of y'all? I'm going to tell you where it's at. It's where the Yellow Mall is and where Hammocks is. That was cornfields for years. Two-lane road, went out in the country, out through there. Cornfields on both sides. Now imagine you, that guy that owns that land. There you are out there sweating by the, working by the sweat of your brow. And then one day, Mr. Hammock decides he wants to move all his operations out there in your field. He said, "Well, I don't know if I could sell it to you." And he writes down a certain number, and you look at that thing and think, "Man, I'm going to be like Jed. I'm going to have to move away from here with all that." And then that outfit over at Crossroads says, "Yeah, and we want that one." You've just been a poor farmer all your life, barely making ends meet. Now, all of a sudden, God's turned that thing around for you. See, listen. I met a rich man in this town back in the 80s. You know what he did? He sold a certain kind of fruit. And you know which kind of fruit he sold? The very one he planted in the ground. True story. The very thing they planted come up every year. Then one day, they lost all that business after he died. And I noticed something the other day when I rode by there. Them same things that he planted still putting out. They just ain't nobody out there picking them no more. They started tearing them down and doing away, but them things are still out there putting out that fruit still.
Yep.
That man sold that back in when? 60s, 50s? And it's still coming out today? 2017? You only going to get back what you put in. Hey, do it right. Do it right. Hey, I had a man tell me one time, he is an accountant for a large corporation in this town. He said when that man dies, this particular man, he said when that man dies, he said his kids are all going to be homeless. I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because they'll go up there at that Ford place back in the Stevenson Ford up there where the Pizza Hut is. They'd walk in there and buy a car off the showroom floor and send the bill back to the company." You imagine walking there back then, it was a $17,000 convertible Mustang, brand new. The only thing is rolled off the thing and rolled in the thing. And then 2 weeks later, you're tired of it and you just take it back and get another one.
Huh.
Do you know what the resale value versus taking that thing back a day later is? How about 2 weeks later? You can't run a company like that.
That's right.
It'll shipwreck itself.
That's right.
But I have watched companies in this town where a guy that don't have a college education goes in to work for a man and invests himself in there by showing up for work every day and being a good employee and saying, "Yes, sir, I'll do it," and go do it.
Mm-hmm.
And do the jobs nobody else would do.
Yeah.
10, 15 years down the road, that old businessman, he's rich, tired, old, wanting to get on the, a motorhome and drive around the country. And he walks up to that employee and says, "You want to buy this business?" "Well, I don't have but such and such. I'll finance it for you. You do right. I've watched you pay your bills. I've watched you blood, sweat, and tears in this place. And now he owns the business, and he's doing well and got that man paid off. And probably in 20 years, he'll do the same thing for somebody else." Hey, listen. Use the opportunity. Use the opportunity. Put 100% in. Do everything you do for the Lord. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you.